Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our host, Dr. Tim Clinton, and his son, Zach, thank you for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and your support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. We want to be your daily encouragement to help you help others for your life, your love, your faith, and your family. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, won't you? And join us on social media for more fresh content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a division of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Zach Clinton, Vice President of the AACC and co-host here at LLFF, alongside of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you guys for joining us today. Our topic is a carryover from really yesterday's conversation. You know, Maddie, as we keep diving into this conversation, there's a lot of people out there, though, that may be in, let's just say they're in rough marriages. Like marriage maybe feels like it's on the rocks. Maybe they're in rough relationships. They're in a dating relationship. It just doesn't seem the way that it's supposed to be going right now. Some of the lessons that you guys have already given us are so impactful, and I think they can be applied in those relationships. But what about the person listening that just feels discouraged and disappointed with where they're at in their relational life? What would you share with them as like a first step to begin doing today in their relationship to hopefully maybe just turn their life and their relationship around?
A first step, that's tough. I would say prayer would definitely be like first step. That might be the obvious one, so I'll go past that. But I do think that prayer really should be our foundation. I've seen in my own personal life, like that's my first step to any decision. That's my first step to seeing any change actually happen. But taking it all before God, before taking it to other people, before complaining about it, before talking, like take it to God, truly has been a game changer for me in all aspects of my life, from dating and trying to evaluate and figure out if God's in it, if God's blessing it, if it's God's best, to all the way to marriage. And, you know, there'll be something that he's, you know, I'm frustrated with, or I'm like, God, why can't he just figure this out or get this together, you know? And I've like nagged him enough that I'm like, okay, I need to stop nagging. The Bible's clear about that. And I need to just take it to God and just let God, you know, take it from here. I would say, beyond that is similar to kind of what you were saying, is like, take the initiative, be the first person to serve. Don't look to be served, but look to serve. How can I give? How can I bless my spouse? What can I do for him today that will make him feel loved? I think for me, where I can find myself the most disappointed in my friendships, in my marriage, you can really apply this to a lot of different relationships, is when I'm constantly focused on myself and I'm looking for, you know, that person to make me feel loved. For that person to serve me, for that person to give to me. And where I feel the most fulfilled, honestly, I mean, it's biblically based. And so I don't know why I'm so surprised often, is when I'm giving. It's when it's not when I'm receiving. It's not when I'm getting that thing. Those things might make me feel loved, but it's when I'm using what God's given me to bless someone else. And it's when, you know, I'm using the gifts God's given me, whether that's to encourage, whether that's to speak truth, whether that's to pray, but to use those gifts to bless someone else. And then just using your words wisely. I think we undervalue the power of our words so often, and we can use our words against us. We can use our words against our situation, the very situation we're hoping to change and hoping to get better. We can usually use our words to literally tear it down and to speak death. And so it's so powerful, you know, the words that we say. And so whether that's over a person, you know, if I'm constantly saying, gosh, Grant, you know, I just wish you'd be a better husband. I just wish you'd love me more. I just wish this, if only you did this, if only you had this. I personally, and maybe you disagree, I personally feel like that's not a lot of motivation for him to want to change, you know? But if I start speaking, man, you are such an amazing husband. And when you do this, it makes me feel this way. way. You make me feel so loved and so seen. It makes him want to do that more. And so I think using our words directly over that person, but even just speaking things into existence. And a lot of that comes out in, into prayer, of just like, Lord, I don't see change right now, but I believe, you know, by the power of your word, like I'm prophesying that my husband, you know, will be a man of God. My husband will lead me spiritually. My husband will, whatever the circumstance is that we're hoping for change, just speaking that and praying that, and our words are just so powerful. So you asked for one, I gave you three.
Come on.
But I felt like prayer was, I had already spoken to that. So I wanted to take it a step further.
It's so good. Prayer, taking the initiative and speaking life. Pastor Mark Batterson, he reminded me of this on a podcast episode this past fall. He said, words create worlds. They can create worlds of hurt or worlds of hope and healing. And that's exactly what you spoke to, right? What we should be doing is uplifting one another, encouraging one another, edifying one another, right? Not beating each other down. It's so easy for us, though. I think of Gottman Family Institute, John Gottman. He does a lot of research on what pulls couples apart, what leads them to separation or divorce, but also what keeps them together. His four horsemen that he talks about, the first two are really about, you know, being able to critique each other, or criticism is a big one that really tears couples apart, and then getting to a point of contempt where you actually are aiming words at one another to try to hurt each other, to try to dismember one's self-esteem and self-confidence. That's the number one predictor, you guys, of divorce. So be careful, again, of what world you will create with your words. Grant, for you, John Gottman has a great quote that I love kind of sharing. He says, you can't be influential if you can't accept influence from each other. You guys talked a lot about that up front on that 6-month aspect where you guys were able to be honest with each other, humble yourself, be able to hear, receive, accept that influence. But you both are running a million miles an hour. God has entrusted you both with this unique gift to lead, to communicate, to have great influence for such a time as this. How do you guys take the time? I'll start with you, Grant, but I also want to hear your perspective, Maddie. How do you take the time to humble yourself, to receive that level of influence from one another as you both, like you said, got a little spark in you, got a little extra step, you got a little extra juice in leadership? How do you do those things?
Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And like, we've taken that really serious. And when James says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, I don't want the creator of the heavens and the earth to oppose me. And so I want to walk in with a humble spirit. And when you humble yourself before the Lord, what we've seen is that can just, that translates to your relationships. And when you stand at the cross of Jesus Christ, that leaves no room for pride. And that's how we remind ourselves of the gospel almost daily. How we've seen just that be very, really powerful in our relationship is, it's like, Maddie, I want you to know that I want to be the best husband I possibly can to you. And so it's not going to be easy to always receive this, but if you see something in me that does not align with God's word and how he's commissioned me to lead you, you have full permission to speak that into my life. And that didn't come day one of marriage. That came over time. And Maddie, as she's had permission to do that, now can speak to me in that gentle spirit. But of course, I don't always receive it the best. Like she'll come to me and she'll say something and I'll get that defensiveness. But then it's like, okay, wait, I know she loves me. And I know that she's coming to me in a spirit of, I want the best for our marriage. And so we've seen just that play a really big part in it. Also, like, there's nothing more unattractive than arrogance and pride. And there's nothing that looks more like our enemy, the devil, than arrogance and pride. And it's like, man, as believers, like, we should be the most encouraging and humble people on this earth. And sadly, that's not the case. And but you have to fight for it, man. It's a daily renewal. It's a daily mind change. It's a shift. And so we wake up, she goes to the prayer closet, I stay on the living room floor, and we get right with our Father first. And we see the days that we skip that. And there are days that that just doesn't happen, where that arrogance and that pride and that ego and, and all that comes out, man. And so we're not perfect at all. We often have moments where it's like ego's involved. But at the end of the day, she will always make me pray over her and we'll be laying in bed. And sometimes I'm like,
He's dead tired
in the middle of a fight, and she'll flip her arm over and it'll hit my chest. And I've got to grab her hand and go, dear God. And for some reason, that just so centers us back to same team. We got it. We're not perfect. but let's do this together. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, there's so many things that come to mind. He does such an amazing job, which I think just shows such a spirit of humility. As soon as there's disagreement, it may take him a second, but he's always the first one. So I need to grow in this. I'll confess. I'll confess to you guys. I truly do think that's where pride so easily can be spotted, is when things don't go your way or when you've been offended. Mm. Like, how do you respond? Like, we've been forgiven. So who are we to withhold forgiveness towards someone else? And it's really easy in marriage to have that offended spirit, you know, and to let that pride continue to fester. And then you start creating all of these assumptions. And that's where criticism starts, you know, well, this and that. And man, I see like that immediately get like, I'll be red in the face, angry. And he's just like, will you forgive me? And I'm like, well, yeah, outdo one another and how quick you can ask for forgiveness. Mm. Like, outdo one another and just like showing humility and saying, hey, like Philippians 2 talks about, we are called to have the same mindset as Christ when it comes to relationships with one another. And so because of that, like I should consider you as more important than my own opinions and my own, you know, what I want to accomplish in this moment. So I would say that. And man, I think even just like praying Psalm 139 of like, search my heart, God, remove any offensive way in me. Like, show me if there's anything in me, any pride in my heart, Lord, just any dark spots that I'm not seeing, like purify me from all unrighteousness. And I think continuing to have that posture, he referred to it early of he kind of has his spot in the living room. Yeah. He watches the sunrise and I'm upstairs in the prayer closet. And those have kind of become our spots. Yeah. Yeah. And it takes that, you know, continual daily, I'm dying to myself. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord, help me to live for Christ and help me to see others the way that you see them. Help me to lay my life down. You showed us what love looks like by laying your life down for us. And then 1 John 3:16 shows us how we are to love, which is to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And so because of that, I am called to say, okay, I'm dying to myself. It's not about Maddie, but it's how can I glorify God and how can I love his people, and especially regarding my spouse. And so I think when you have that mindset, it totally changes. Like, okay, how's Grant going to serve me today? Like, what's he going to do for me? You know, but like he said, it's so easy to fall back into it. You know, you can have an amazing moment of prayer in the morning. Yes. And then by 3:00 in the afternoon, I'm like, I hadn't heard from you. Like, now I'm mad. Now I'm upset. I'm offended. You know, and so it does, it takes those moment by moments, just trying not to make assumptions. Like you said, ask questions, pray, you know, taking a second. He's also really good at just like taking a second, you know, like, hey, I need a second, and then let's come back together and let's have a conversation. Continuing to just seek to understand has been really helpful too.
It's so good, you guys, because humility is a process, right? We have to embark and engage on the pursuit of it each and every day, but moment by moment, like you said, Maddie, not morning by morning, moment by moment. And I think it's a great segue, as you guys mentioned, kind of your own personal quiet time with God. There may be a lot of people out there who are questioning, you know, how do you balance between your own personal walk with Christ as well as like a collaborative effort alongside of your spouse? We all understand, I would assume a lot of our listeners probably have this verse hung up on their walls of Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? They probably got the quote everywhere. They probably got it written down somewhere. They want to build that foundation. But where's the balance between, hey, I want to have a personal relationship with God that's separate from Evelyn, but at the same time, like, I want to pray with her. I want to read God's word with her. How do you balance those two things?
Yeah, it's good, Zach. As much as I love her, me and God are first. Yeah. Like, that's first. And I'm going to die one day, and I'm going to stand before the Lord, and Maddie's not going to be there. Mm. And vice versa. She's going to stand before God, and I'm not going to be there. And what we've learned is, she looked at me one day. She goes, Grant, when you and God are good, me and you are much better. Mm. And that just like stuck in my head, where it's like, hey, I've got to prioritize him. And out of that overflow, I can then love Maddie how I'm supposed to. Mm-hmm. And so my number one goal, like my number one, I've got to get alone with God. Yeah. And what I think I've said this last time, but I'll sit on the living room floor and I'll watch the sunrise, and I'm just talking to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes it's meditating on the birds chirping. Mm-hmm. The wind is blowing in the trees and the sun is rising. It's like creation is waking up to God's call. And I'll just remind myself, like, God is big, grain is small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that stills my heart. And then I'll get in the word. And you can't hibernate on God's word. It's a daily, you can't do it
right.
and then live off it for 2 weeks.
That's right.
Daily. And out of that, then the next step is a call from Ephesians 5 is to wash your wife in the word.
Mm.
And so what we often do to each other is we remind ourselves of scripture.
Yeah.
And so we encourage each other, hey, what are you memorizing right now? What's God teaching you? One of the number one things we talk about at dinner is, hey, tell me what you learned in God's word today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a cheesy thing because we're supposed to. We're genuinely wondering.
Yeah.
And when I hear her start to go, Mark 5, there's this story. Mm. I'm falling deeper in love with her.
Yeah.
And we're going spiritual. It's not just emotional. We're going spiritual. Mm. And it's the way God designed us to go. And she'll
yeah.
be like, Grant, what is your next topic on at the net? And I'll begin to tell her.
Mm.
And then what we have to really prioritize that's much harder is what we've talked about, which is prayer together.
Yeah.
We've seen there's something about, like, when we get on our knees together,
mm.
it's this like, hey, we're going to war
mm.
as a unit, and it does something to your soul.
Mm.
Like there's something there. If I could encourage anybody, there's something there. As we dated, though, here's what I would caution people. In dating, I would not do that together.
Yeah.
We had a long prayer one time together in dating. And what that led to was the most sexual temptation we've experienced in dating.
Mm.
Like, we both came out of that prayer like, and I know why. It's because God designed the next step out of that was to physically be one.
Yeah.
And so there's something beautiful about the way God designed. It's like you go there spiritual with someone.
Right.
Your body's like
so intimate.
I was made to be one with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so intimate.
Right.
So if you're dating, be careful. But in marriage, man, that is beauty and worship to the Father.
Mm.
Yeah. And that was so good. I mean, that's everything I would say. And I think he spoke to this at the beginning, but just the way you love your spouse the best is to love God the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like you fall more in love with Jesus, you will love your spouse the way you're called to. And so you cannot continue to be in the word of God and not be convicted and called higher. You know, if you're truly like in love with Jesus
yeah.
and asking the Lord to, you know, convict you and lead you with that spirit of conviction, you can't. Like, he's going to be calling you out left and right, refining you. And, you know, I think that's what keeps us humble.
Mm.
That's what keeps us serving one another. And that's what keeps the foundation strong. Because there's going to be wind and there's going to be waves and there's going to be all kinds of things that life's going to throw at you.
Yeah.
But to have
yeah.
the foundation, Matthew 7 talks about it, to have your foundation built on the rock of Jesus Christ,
yes.
no matter what comes against you, like what it's built on is so strong and steady, it will
yeah.
stand.
Yeah.
It will not fall. And so we continue to just make sure, hey, like he is number one. We,
mm-hmm.
you know, we joke all the time when we have kids, we'll remind them like God's number one. We're number two and y'all are number three.
That's right.
Like, you know, they will know,
yeah.
You know, the rankings,
yeah.
the, where they fall. And so,
yes.
you know, that's even something we joke about, but it's helpful to even like remind ourselves of like, oh yeah, like God is number one. I can't go to my spouse for something that ultimately only God can give me. He can encourage that.
Yeah.
He can spur that on. He can
yeah.
compliment that. But at the end of the day, just like John 4 talks about, like he is the only one that's going to be able to ultimately satisfy us. So yeah, man, falling deeper in love with Jesus will help you love your spouse better.
The way you love your spouse the best is by loving God the most. That is so good right there, Maddie. You know, as you guys are mentioning, and as you've brought up throughout this entire conversation, God's word really is, it's like the playbook. It's the guidebook, not only to live our life in that life abundantly, but also to do relationships well. And we view him as the greatest example, not just of leadership, but of intimacy and of the shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of John Ortberg. He wrote a book recently, or actually it was a while back, but I read it recently, called I'd Like You More If You Were More Like Me. And in that book, it talks about how God gives us this beautiful example of even when you think about what he did with the disciples. They ate together, they fished together, they hiked together, they prayed together, did all these things together. But it says that Jesus never placed efficiency over intimacy. Went on to say that he was perfectly willing to go about his work more slowly if it meant connecting with those that he loved more deeply. And so that's what
wow.
you guys are saying. You know, slow yourselves down, dive into the word, understand what it's saying. But beyond the word of God, I'm also grateful for valuable resources that can help just individuals grow in their lives. Maddie, you recently came out with your newest book that I want to give a little plug for a second. I want you to share on it. It's titled The Love Everybody Wants, What You're Looking For Is Already Yours. Maddie, share with our listeners for a second. There it is right there. Grant's your biggest hype man. Maddie, what is your heart behind the book and what do you hope that every reader walks away with?
Yeah, well, thank you for that. It was based on, the heart behind the book is based on the two greatest commandments that we are given in Matthew 22, where Jesus says the two greatest commandments, we know them, we hear them all the time. But when I was reminded of them about 2 years ago, a few years ago, when I started writing this book, it was like the Lord almost revealed to me kind of this order of loves. But it goes on to say in these verses to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm. And so in the book, I really dissect what it looks like to love God and be loved by God, what it looks like to love yourself, not in the world's way, but God's way, to see yourself the way that God sees you and to know that you are completely whole in Him so that you're not looking for someone else to complete you. And then third, what it looks like to have godly relationships, what it looks like to build healthy relationships with others and to love them the way that God calls you to. And so that's kind of the heart behind the book. And, you know, the tagline of what you're looking for is already yours is really just the heart of, like, so often we're looking for it, you know, externally and around us and in someone else or in something else. And at the end of the day, it's only God's love that's going to be able to satisfy us. And it's already available to us, but it's up to us to accept it and receive it and walk in it and to choose it daily, because it is that daily decision. It's very easy for me to have that one moment of, God, you're the Lord of my life. I give you my life. I make you, you know, my King, my Lord. And then, you know, a week later, we start placing that lordship. We start creating other idols and other things and trying to look for that satisfaction in other people. And so it's been a conviction to me, even writing it. It was therapy to myself. And I really, really went through all the different relationship stages, you know, even writing the book. I started writing it single, and then I met Grant and got to write, you know, about dating while dating. And then we got engaged and then we got married. And so I got to finish the manuscript. It was like a couple months after we had got married, and even included our wedding vows in there. Wow. And so it's just cool, the grace of God, that I was able to write this relationships book that is based on God's love, but that even ties in, you know, our earthly relationships with one another, especially a significant other, from, you know, being able to walk through each of those point of views. And so I'm really grateful for that. But yeah, it's been a fun book to write and also to just honestly live out.
What a special message that God placed on your heart for such a time as this. I know it's an invaluable resource that so many of our listeners and viewers will just take so much away from. Maddie, where can the listeners and viewers go, though, to find out more about that book, and where can they purchase it?
Yeah, so you can hopefully purchase it anywhere. Right. You can find it in Target, Books a Million, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, pretty much anywhere books are sold. I also have a website, theloveeverybodywants.com, where you can find the book. There's also a Bible study with it if you want to go even deeper into it, just with more packed scripture. And so, yeah. Pretty much anywhere, I guess.
I would encourage all of our listeners and viewers to go pick up just that valuable resource, because I'm telling you, it really will just be transformative in your own personal life. And my prayer is that it would be transformative in your relationship with God as well as those closest to you. You guys, Grant knows this, but how I always like to wrap up is I love to just allow our guests to share a pressing word that God has really placed on their heart for such a time as this. So I'm going to start with Grant, and then I'll allow you to kind of close this out, Maddie. But just based on today's conversation, let's just say there's somebody out there today who maybe still feels maybe discouraged, maybe disappointed. They've been encouraged by everything that's been shared. They're looking forward to diving into, you know, God's word even deeper, into these invaluable resources that we've mentioned. But they just need one more word of hope, encouragement, and motivation as we depart. Grant, what is the message that God's placed on your heart to leave them with?
Yeah, that's so good, Zach. I can't shake this word. It's compassion. And I'm doing the Bible recap right now, where you're reading the whole Bible in a year, trying to stay on it, sticks to it. And we read through Exodus, and it was Exodus 34. And God comes down on this mountain, Mount Sinai. The mountain's trembling, it's shaking, it's fire, hail, lightning. It's just this big, powerful, almighty God. Mm. And the Israelites had just built the golden calf. Mm. And so they just built this golden calf, and they had just rebelled against God who just led them out of Egypt. And Moses goes up on this mountain, and you're waiting for like the wrath of God. Mm. And in Exodus 34, he comes down, and how he describes himself is this word compassionate. Mm. He says, I am compassionate. And it's this Greek word rahum. And it's just so stuck out to me. And I was reading a commentary, and it said, there's one word throughout the entire Bible that you can just place on God. Mm. And it is compassion. Mm. And so wherever anyone's at right now, if your relationship is in shambles on the rocks, or if you feel like you've sinned and messed up, if you're single and you feel shame, whatever you're at right now, I want you to know God is a God of compassion. Mm. And he's not, he says he's slow to anger. Mm. He's full of compassion, and he's quick to love. And know that that's the God that you serve. Mm. And that's the God that wants you to draw near to him right now, not press away. It's tempting in your sin to move away, but he's a father that wants you to move towards him in that. Mm. And he'll meet you with compassion. And that's just been big on my heart lately. Mm.
That's so good.
That is so good, yeah. G. Maddie, what's the word that you feel like God's left you with to leave us with today?
You know, it's something he actually spoke on recently, and we were going over it together. We like to bounce our ideas off of each other and kind of help each other as we're preparing for messages or writing or whatever it may be. And it's John 1:5, and it just says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Mm. And that encourages me so much, because like you said, you know, when you're stuck, when you're feeling discouraged, when you feel like you're in a hopeless place, it can feel like that darkness is so overwhelming. It can feel like there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Mm. But I love that John just opens up with that of like, God is light, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it and will not overcome it. And I'm so grateful that we serve a God of light, and that in the midst of our darkest hour and our darkest situation, like in the end, he will have the final say, and we can have all of our hope and all of our trust in him, knowing that whether we see it on this side of eternity or one day in heaven, we're going to understand like why we walked through all that we did, and he's going to bring just goodness out of it. And so I know for me, like just being able to have hope and being able to keep going is so helpful with just, I mean, we just live in trying times. We live in a very confused world. We live constantly getting bad news and bad reports. And so just knowing that we serve a God that is a God of light and a God of hope is, it's freeing for me at least. So hopefully that's encouraging to anybody listening.
It's not about the darkness. It's all about the light. And I'm reminded of that word compassion, granted in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. That's kind of what we're built on here at AECC, that praise be to the God of all mercy, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our times of trouble so that we may then comfort others with the same comfort we ourselves have received from God. My friends, I cannot thank you enough just for your time, for your willingness to join us for these conversations over the last couple of days. I'm just grateful for all that God is doing in and throughout your lives, in and throughout your ministry, and in and throughout his work in and through you. Thank you for your marriage, for standing on the firm foundation, and for pointing others back to him. Grant and Maddie, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Love you, dude.
Love you guys.
Yeah.
Well, my friends, as we close, I think it's safe to say that most of, if not all of us, have heard some form of 1 Corinthians 13, which reminds us that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Yet so many continually lose it, love. Today, I just want to give you guys three words that I believe can help stoke the flame in your love life again. Intentional, investment, and initiative. First, intentional. Some of the best advice I've ever received about love is that what's natural early on needs to be followed by intentional later on to feel natural again. Remember, love is an action, and it takes intentionality to act in a loving way. So be intentional in your relationships today. Number two is investment. The truth of the matter is that if you know anything about investments, sometimes you have to invest for a long period of time before you ever even see the return on investment, if you even do. I know things may seem dark, they may seem gloomy, they may seem dim in your relationship right now, but I encourage you to keep making even small investments into your relationship, because if you do this consistently, I believe you're setting your relationship up for success. Slow down. Put the phone away, plan the date night, dance in the kitchen, do something to invest in your relationship today. And lastly, take the initiative. Stop waiting around and keeping score. I see so many couples compete with one another in their marriages. Well, it's his turn to do this, or she hasn't done that in forever. Remember, you guys, take ownership and responsibility for the love you desire and deserve, because if you don't, nobody will. And a bonus, love is not just something you become good at. Love is someone you become more like. My prayer is that today, as you spend time with the Lord, He would begin to reveal Himself in a greater light and in turn teach you how to be a reflection of His love to others. So from all of us here at the AACC, my friends, we hope you have a blessed day. As always, thank you so much for joining us. We love being a part of your life, and we hope to see you right back here next time.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, we pray God's richest blessing on you and your family. Be sure to join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, tell us how we're doing, and maybe ask a question or two, or simply for more information on our resources and upcoming events. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.